Are you seeking biblical truth that applies to today's moral quandaries? Do you question the veracity of your pastor? What about your favorite talk show host? Are you starving for someone who cares about today's burning issues, who actively pursues solutions to them? If you're like me, you've even tried to engage your pastor into involvement, but he's shied away from being political or controversial. For far too long, today's Christians have wasted time in churches that don't or won't take a biblical stand. They look to men for direction and vision rather than searching God's Word for what He would have us to do. I'm Leslie Hanks, Vice President of Colorado Right to Life, and sadly, I spent far too many years seeking a pastor who cared about preborn babies and their right to life. Now that I attend Denver Bible Church, I feel like I've come home. Pastor Enyart is a true friend of the pro-life movement. His program, Bob Enyart Live, keeps me informed of today's pressing issues and conveys the most up-to-date information from a biblical perspective. He stands for the protection of all innocent life in America. Bob was a real hero fighting for Terri Schiavo. If you care about life, God's Word, and our country, I know you're going to love Bob Enyart Live. Join me in coming home to a place where God's truths are proudly proclaimed and embraced. Tune in for a fun shot of reality that you can always use to make a difference. Won't you help me support Bob Enyart Live financially and prayerfully? If you're in Denver, we welcome you to Denver Bible Church. If you're not, sign up for the weekly sermons and Bible study series. Check out kgov.com for all of the materials or call 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. And thank you.
One morning, this truth of the head, it gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live. One morning, this truth of the head, it gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number here, it's Friday. We'll relax, kick back, cover a few news stories, gripe about liberals, gripe about conservatives. The phone number here is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. Today was homeschool day at the Capitol. It's what, the biggest event at the Capitol every year? It was a blast. I was down there with our homeschooled kindergarten son, Michael, who's 6 years old. And I could contrast today and all the kids I saw and the families with the kids who've been in the media because they want to wear their shirts with the American flag and U.S. Marine Corps. These 11 and 12-year-old super patriots all of a sudden, because they want to tell the kids sitting in the aisle next to them, hey, you shouldn't be here anyway. You're from south of the border. And that's really not the place of an 11-year-old to be in that discussion. And this kid next to him who's from Mexico, it's not because of him he's here in Colorado. He's a kid. The kid shouldn't be the target of anybody's anger or resentment. So these kids are really pawns in an issue that adults should think through and resolve of illegal immigration. And it's sad that our conservative Republican state attorney general sided with the ACLU and forced some of our schools to allow the kids to wear their Mexican flags and American flags, undermining the authority of adults over children. It's easy to get carried away with some issue, and while you're fighting for that issue, like to fight to stop illegal immigration, that's a good fight. But while you're doing that, you see principals who say, we don't want you kids dressing a certain way because of the tension in the school, and the conservative parents are up in arms. My kid has a right to wear whatever he wants to wear. And so he teaches his little kid to disrespect the adults around him and those in authority. And so the kids come to school then like punks, wearing their, they've got a little, an 11-year-old here who she says, my grandfather was a Marine. I want to support him. She probably hasn't called her grandfather in 5 years. And here she is, though. She could be rebellious against the principal. And a bunch of the kids with the American flags got suspended. Now, it's terrible that in America, principals would say, don't wear something that shows you love your country. That's despicable. But don't confuse yourself and don't side with the forces that undermine authority and the respect that children should have for adults. So the first lesson we learn from this is get your kids out of the public schools. First lesson. Second lesson, you should never undermine the authority that adults have over children. All right. Third lesson, secure the borders. Fourth lesson, welcome people here in America as long as they come legally and do away with welfare and enforce crime swiftly and painfully. Punish convicted criminals. So that's how you solve the immigration problem. Any other solution is a make-believe solution. Anything you hear on, let's see, what's one of our favorite shows? Hannity and Combs. Anything you hear there is a make-believe solution. Because the ultimate solution to the immigration problem is do away with welfare and have a proper criminal justice system and secure the borders, of course. That's part of it. But then welcome people here who want to come here. Let them come here and work. We need the help. Okay. And later in the show, I want to get to the woman who called from Iowa. Now, in Denver, remember on KLTT, 50,000 watts, we hear the first half of Bob and Yurt Live. To hear the whole show, then you could go to our website, KGov, KGOV.com, and then you'll hear the whole show. The woman called yesterday and said the Mexicans are taking our jobs. And I think that's the wrong perspective on it. So we'll talk through that a little bit more later in the show. But today, homeschool day at the Capitol, a wonderful group of people, really cool. The state commissioner of education spoke again in an extremely positive way to the homeschool crowd. That's unusual. You go around state after state, and you don't find too much of that going on. And there is a war against homeschoolers. There are people who don't like homeschooling. And now what do we have? Going on 2 million kids in America homeschooled? And how do they do compared to public school kids? Well, they score better than public school kids by 3% on standardized tests. Oh, wait, did I say 3%? Is that what I said? Boy, somebody in the studio audience says, only 3%? No, I'm sorry, it was 13%. I misread the statistic. What did I say, 13%? I think I have dyslexia today. That's 30% homeschool kids score better than public school kids by 30 percentile. Even on the soft grading of public schools, that's 3 grade letters. So, and that's homeschooled by moms mostly, some dads. Dads pitch in different ways, mostly moms. Some of those moms didn't even graduate high school, and their kids outshine the kids who go to the public schools where some of the teachers have master's degrees because they have a master in the philosophy of how to mess up your kid's head. And you send little Johnny off to public school, and you know, he comes home, he's so happy, he drew a pumpkin, the high holy day of Halloween, they're all excited, it's coming up. But they don't send you a note saying, tomorrow we're going to mess up little Johnny's mind. They don't do that. You know, we sell, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we sell a book that is so good by a friend of ours, Bruce Short. And the book is called Public Schools, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. And Bruce Short, he's one of the guys that introduces to the Southern Baptist Convention the resolution to pull your kids out of public schools. He's well known for that. And he has documented, he's written and documented this book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. If you have somebody in your family who's sending their kids to public schools, or your kids are, boy, it would take quite a courageous father or mother to read this book. But you should do it because you need a kick. You need a kick to come to terms with the reality that you got to pull your kids out of public school. So we've got this book in stock, in fact. And if you call us, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. If you call and order the book, then you'll have to call us back on the air and tell us what you thought of it. Okay? And if you call and order the book, just tell us why you want to get it. We could put that on the air, too. By the way, our phone number, 800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Also addressing the homeschool group at the Capitol, where a number of our state representatives, senators were there. And Kevin Lundberg gave an encouraging talk. But then also there was Jane Norton. She spoke. She's our state lieutenant governor. And inside the Capitol, she's walking down the hall, and Michael and I are walking down. We said, "Hello, Mrs. Norton." And she turned around, and we shook hands. And she asked Michael, "What grade are you in?" She shook Michael's hand. And we just happened to have with us a copy of the Focus on the Strategy DVD, which has a beautiful picture of the Colorado State Capitol in Denver in the fall with the leaves turning color. And so we took it out and gave her one and said, "Mrs. Norton, we're sure that you are too busy to view this, but if you have the time," and she said, "Oh, I'll have the time." And she looked at it and she said, "Let's see, Bob Enyart Live, you're Bob Enyart." And so she took it from us very graciously. And so we hope she views it. Although when we send things to busy people, we don't expect they're going to read our material or watch a DVD, right? That would border on the insanity side of the rational threshold for human beings. Because when people are busy and you give them a book or give them a video, it's not like you want them to quit their job and divorce their wives and just read the stuff you give them, right? So we don't expect, when we, sometimes we spend a lot of money to get some information into the hands of a famous person, an author, a celebrity, a talk show host, and our expectation that they'll read it or look at it is close to zero. Close to zero, but we do it anyway in hopes. And it cracks me up. People will come up to me and they'll say, "Bob, did you read that book I gave you?" I said, "First of all, who are you?" "I'm George. Remember George? We went to your senior prom together." I said, "No, I don't even remember going to my senior prom. But George, it's good to see you again. How are you? Did you read that book I gave you?" "What book?" "You know, that book on the end times. It explains everything." I say, "George, I'm sure it's somewhere in my library, or someone borrowed it and never returned it. And no, I have no idea. I may have read it and I don't even remember." "Oh, by the way, I didn't mean go to the senior prom with a guy. We used to rent limos to go to the senior proms." "Not go with a guy? You know that a friend of ours is dating a man. You know him? One of our friends is dating a man. He came to us and he said, 'You know, I'm dating a man, but there's hope because there's a way to deal with that, to change that.' And it turns out his fiance, her last name is Man." It's so funny. He said there's a procedure for changing that. It's called marriage. So he was joking with us. But no, in our senior prom, I remember specifically going to a senior prom, which one I forget, went to a couple. And we were in a limo, and kids from our school were behind us drinking. They were not in a limo. They were driving, and they were passing on a narrow, curved road. You know, the hills and back east, and trees on each side. And they were passing us. We were in a limo, and they got in a head-on collision. Right in front of us. It was amazing. We weren't involved in it. And so they were pretty stunned. They had to go to the hospital. Nobody died. But I remember one kid stumbled out and tried to throw the alcohol out. They had like a case of something and bottles of something. And he tried to throw it real far, and it went about 3 feet into the road. And so, yeah, that's what I meant when I said, remember we went to the senior prom together? So when we give our material to people who are celebrities or public officials, talk show hosts, authors, we don't expect they're going to look at it. I mean, that would be too conceited, really. But we just hope. We hope and pray that they might say, you know, let me just play 1 minute of this. I'll play 1 minute of this in case I ever run into that guy again. And so we hope they put it in, and in 1 minute, they're riveted to the seat, and they can't move. That's our hope. And Kevin Swanson, who's the head of Colorado Home Educators, check. He is such a neat guy, and he's watched the Focus on the Strategy DVD, gave me a big handshake and said, Bob, let's go to lunch this week. Let's get together. And there were others there, some staff members of some key representatives or senators that we handed out these DVDs to. So if you haven't seen it, you owe it to yourself. I mean, you're going to like it. And there's a money-back guarantee. It's probably the cheapest thing you'll ever get from Bob and Aaron Live. It's only $9.95. And you get three of them for $19.95. And you get 10 of them for $49.95. That's one way to spread the word. On the state capitol, if you read engraved in the Capitol building, the artwork on the cover of the DVD, it says in the engraving on the Capitol, it says Christian political strategy. Pretty cool. Boy, we must have some great graphic artists around here, like Nancy and our staff, to do things like this. Wow. So anyway, you'll have to get that from us. I think you'll love it. Okay. So this morning, and I said it's a Friday, right? Low key, talk about a few news stories. This morning, we left the house early. Well, we wanted to run a couple errands, and a water tower near us has been knocked down because it's old and they're getting rid of it. And tragically, a worker was on it after it was knocked down and the wind changed and he slipped and fell off and he died. So there's these temporary memorials set up, a cross and flowers. But anyway, we went to see, you know, it's an unusual sight, a water tower laying down on the ground. And so we went to see the tower, and all the public school students that wrote on the tower graffiti and the most vulgar, despicable things they wrote so that we wouldn't even stay there. We were going to have the kids get out, take a picture by the water tower, just because of the water tower part of the story. But the graffiti was so disgusting that we couldn't even do that because our kids could read. Well, not the 4-year-old, but he should be able to read. I'm going to get on my wife on that. Come on, honey. What's this homeschool stuff about anyway? But Michael, he's 6. He could read. Zachary reads. He was reading. What is he reading? He picks up the Bible and he starts reading through Genesis. He's like on chapter 16, and it's really cool, the things that Zachary reads. But Michael could read. So we left right away. We had time. We went to McDonald's. And we're in McDonald's. And you know how the kids could play? They take off their shoes. So there's a grandmother with 3 kids. The one kid is throwing a temper tantrum. This is a frail old grandma with her 3 little grandkids. Girls. The one girl is throwing a temper tantrum. The grandmother doesn't want her to have her umbrella up inside. And the girl's she almost poked the grandmother in the eye with the umbrella. And she will not obey the grandmother. So the other 2 kids, the grandma says, now keep your socks on. You're taking your shoes off. Keep your socks on. And the one girl, there's a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, as far as we could tell. She's looking her grandmother in the eye as she's taking off her socks. She just takes off her socks and goes and plays. So this grandmother, she just has no control. She has no control of these kids. And the kids, the public school teachers, of course, they have virtually no control either. And they say it's not our fault, it's the parents. Except they forget that the parents all went to public school. They're dysfunctional parents in large part because they were educated in their worldview by their public school teachers. So it used to be that grandkids were the great blessing of people when they get in their 60s, 70s, 80s. Today, the grandkids have become a curse. And there are plenty of grandparents who will say, I just don't want to see those kids ever again. And that's new. That's new. It wasn't like that when I grew up. When did I grow up? I was born in the 50s. Well, late 50s. And the kids were so respectful to their grandparents. It was just, you didn't even think of disobeying your grandparents. It's not that you didn't do it. You didn't think of disobeying them. Anyway. All right. So let's go to the phones in Denver, Colorado, from Colorado Right to Life. We have the office manager here on the line, Linda Brake. Linda, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you for calling in. There's always something important when you call in, Linda.
Well, I just wanted to see if you might promote our oratory contest.
The oratory contest. I think I've gone to every contest in the last 3 years or so, and it's a lot of fun. This is where young people give a speech. And it's a speech that has something to do with abortion or euthanasia or suicide. And then the one who does the best speech gets some kind of prize.
Well, actually, we have three prizes this year.
All right.
The first prize is a $500 scholarship.
Whoa.
Second prize is a $300 scholarship. And third place is a $200 scholarship.
Wow. If my three kids enter, is it possible they could win them all?
Sure.
That's $1,000. Wow, Linda. Hey, okay, so Linda, how does someone enter this contest?
Well, it's real simple, Bob. We're getting a little bit later in. The contest is on April 29th. It's a Saturday. And in order to enter, they should call me here at the office at 303-753-9394.
All right.
And I will send them out a packet of information, and that packet of information will just give them gobs of stuff for them to be able to set up their speech.
Right. Now, that's the Colorado Right to Life annual oratory contest, and it's a lot of fun. You know, young people, they don't have to panic or anything. And it's a 3-minute speech, right?
No, it's between, I believe, 4 and 8 minutes.
Oh, 4 and 8 minutes.
And there will be three judges there.
So it's a 5-minute speech.
Right.
How hard could that be for a $500 scholarship?
Well, it would be hard for me, Bob.
Hell no.
But
no, it wouldn't. So anyway, okay. And there are judges.
Three judges.
And the judges, they render their verdicts. And it really is a good time of fellowship. And the kids gain some awesome skills on public speaking and how to give a speech.
Right.
Because there are basic rules that they read, and they comply with those rules. And I tell you, our kids are talented.
They are.
They are really talented.
It's really amazing. Some of these kids just, they floor you.
Yeah, they do. So, okay. So, and if somebody's driving and they can't write down the phone number, I'll repeat the number, but they could just go to the web and go to Colorado Right to Life's website, right?
Right.
ColoradoRightToLife.org and find your office number, 303-753-9394. Does it cost anything to enter the contest?
Not a dime.
Doesn't cost anything. And then we hold the contest on April 29th, Saturday, and typically there's refreshments and it's just a great time.
Great.
All right, Linda.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. You're
Appreciate
welcome.
It.
God bless you.
You too.
Okay, so that is Colorado Right to Life's oratory contest. Now, if you're listening this on the web in some other city around the country or specifically in Iowa, check with your Iowa Right to Life. And they very possibly have a similar oratory contest. And then, you know what's fun? You know what we didn't point out? The winner of this, if you want to go, you could go to the Nationals in Washington, D.C. And then it gets serious. You got to be good if you're going to go to the Nationals. You really do. You got to be good. No cheat sheets or anything like that. You just got to be sharp. Now, this issue of Mexicans taking our jobs, we should strongly advocate securing our borders. We should do that strongly. And legal immigration. But it is a completely separate issue about who gets what job. And if you're going for a job and you really want a job and somebody else gets the job, what should your attitude be toward that person? Well, it shouldn't have any envy in it or bitterness, but we should be thankful that people around us are blessed. That should be our general attitude. When I worked for corporate America, I worked for the phone company, Microsoft, and McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. And I wrote for PC Week, a Ziff Davis publication, computers. And there would be people around me, and I'd find out, well, so-and-so got a raise, and they're making $4,000 a year more than the rest of us. And there'd be people at work, and they'd be so bitter and envious. And I'd say, why aren't you happy for that guy? Be happy for him. And if there are people in the office who are making more money than we are, then there's more opportunity for us to get raises. If you're making the most, maybe it'd be harder to get a raise. But if somebody's making a lot more than you are, so it's an attitude thing, and that's where the gospel comes in full force, in our attitude, because God can be glorified in our attitudes. The Beatitudes, have you heard of those? And I remember when I wanted to get ahead in corporate America, my goal was to make my supervisor or my boss a success. Make my boss a success, and then as he succeeds and gets ahead, I will get ahead. Instead of trying to leapfrog over my boss. I mean, you might end up doing that, but loyalty also, you try to make the people above you successful. And it's hard. Corporations, of course, are worldly organizations that are often committed to wickedness. But the poverty in Mexico is devastating. It is oppressive. And to the extent that Mexicans come here and they get out of living in boxes and they actually have running water and electricity and they could send some money home to relatives. And so when our own governing officials don't respect our laws, we should at least temper our anger with other people who live in misery, who want to come here, and they don't respect our laws either. Of course they don't. We don't respect our laws. If Walmart said, well, from now on, we're not going to try to prevent shoplifting. If Walmart said that, and so shoplifting went up 40,000% at Walmart, who are you going to blame most, the people shoplifting or the board of directors of Walmart? Of course, Walmart, you're going to blame them most, and then secondarily, the people who steal there, because they should know better anyway. And so foreigners, they don't respect our laws, but we don't respect our laws. We are the ones who don't secure our borders. So that's where our anger should be with our governing officials. And we need to fix that problem without being unnecessarily bitter or envious at people who live in desperate poverty, who want to come here to have a chance at a better life. And even if they're sending money back to their family south of the border, that family, remember, is living most likely in desperate poverty. Hey, let me announce this. Monday, Bobby Schindler on Bob and Yurt Live. That's Terry Schiavo's brother. We're looking forward to talking to Bobby Schindler this Monday. We'll be right back.
Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the Plot Manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
You hypocrite. Are those the first words that Christ will say to you? Now that's a scary thought. But many Christians overlook the words that Jesus spoke, and they use a cliche instead. Hi, this is Brian Rohrbaugh on behalf of Bob Inyart Live. Is it possible to be nicer than God? What about meaner than God? Remember the words from a popular song? They will know we are Christians by our love. Many Christians who ignore what God calls sin think that they are being nice by not confronting a sinner. But is it really nice to withhold God's truth? To let someone think God approves of their behavior? Or is that meaner than God? Find out in the audio series Nicer Than God, a Bible study on the value of God's Word. I spoke in one part of this series. Find out what I have to say. Order Nicer Than God. It's a fun and timely series on biblical wisdom. Order yours today. Call 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 and ask for Nicer Than God. Or order online at KGOV.com. Now get ready for Bob Inyart Live.
NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. You're listening to Bob Inyart Live. And what a great day it is. It's Friday. And tonight in Colorado, we're going to have a fellowship, a home Bible study. And we're going to go through some of the passages in the scripture that talk about the end times, the last days. And it's going to be fun. There'll be a small group, about 20 people, meeting in somebody's living room. And one thing you could consider is that throughout history, when Christians became interested in the end times, the book of Revelation, Daniel, Ezekiel, Matthew 24, knocking at the door, they would take scripture passages and they'd look at the news of the day and they'd say, look, this headline here in this newspaper, it's being fulfilled right here. This is Ezekiel 38 happening right before our eyes. And then they all died. And then another generation rose up and somebody said, look at Halley's Comet in the sky. Look at the Black Plague. Look at the millennium is changing. It's going to be the year 1000. This is the end times. And then they all died. And you go on like that through history. And whatever it was, whatever generation was looking at the end times prophecies, there's so much material in the Bible that they're able to twist something or other to show that the second coming would be within the next 10 or 20 years. It's so easy to do. You just say, look, a generation is 20 years, and you add this and that, and you multiply those, and there it's going to be next Thursday. Usually they come up with a theory, and it's about 10 or 20 years out. And then if they're popular, 10 or 20 years later, they look really stupid. And they say, oh, well, we forgot that there's no year for the year zero. So we added too many years, so you got to add another year. So that it's not 1988, it's not 1987, it's 1988, it's not 88, it's not 89, it's not 2000, it's 2001. A generation is not 20 years, it's 40 years. A generation is not 40 years, it's 57 years. And Christians come across as lacking credibility. And so you need to decide which group of Christians do you want to be in, the group that is forever lacking credibility. And every time there's a headline, there's the League of Nations. That's the end times. There's the European Common Market. There's nine nations in the European Common Market. Greece is going to join. 10 nations, 10 toes of Daniel. Daniel's 10 toes. That's it. The end times. Get ready. And then there were 11. And now what are there? 47? Well, there's a bunch. In the EU. The European Union. So Christians, of course, they're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. And I believe we could show from Scripture that the Apostle Paul was looking forward to the coming of the Lord. That the Lord's return was imminent. He couldn't wait. He was hoping it'd be any moment now. But the Lord tarried because the Lord is patient, wanting the body of Christ to come to its fullness. And so he's tarrying. And we're to be here bringing the gospel to people and working for the Lord in such a way that the body of Christ would one day glorify God in the way that God wants it to, and then the Lord will return. That's going to be exciting. But the end times mania that's so common among Christians, and they'll interpret whatever, it doesn't matter, whatever, to say, look, this is the end times. And speaking of the end times, I got the plot right here. Here it is. Look. See, listen to this plot. You hear that? That's the plot hitting a microphone in the studio. The subtitle of this manuscript says, Grasping the Overview of the Bible is the Key to Its Details. And what this book does is it forces the reader to look at an overview of the whole Bible. It is just so interesting. In fact, on the back cover, we have some endorsements. You know, I don't think, have I ever read these on the air ever? This one from one of the neatest rabbis in the country, Eliezer Erbach. I'll read that endorsement to you. It's really neat. You may have heard of Rabbi Erbach. He's written a book called Out of the Fury. And Cheryl and I, we love that book. Living in Europe, the persecution he's gone through, and with the fall of the Soviet Union, and he's such a neat guy. So anyway, he wrote this, and we put a handful of endorsements on the back cover of the plot. The plot is our manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible, 330 pages. It's $49.95 plus shipping and handling, and you get a money-back guarantee. So Rabbi Erbach, who's a Christian, Messianic rabbi and author, he wrote this. He wrote, take this startling journey into truth. So traditional, at each step, everything appears familiar. Yet as an expert guide revealing new wonders, Pastor Bob Enyart brings the Bible to life with often ignored passages. That's pretty encouraging. Hey, maybe I should read a couple more of these. Let me see here. Bob Hill, Dean of Derby School of Theology in Denver, writes, the plot is the biblical blockbuster of our time. The result of 25 years of Bible research, Mr. Enyart has served believers tremendously. Let's see, Greg Perry, international best-selling author with over 2 million books sold, said, every chapter is the best chapter. Theology doesn't get any better than this. Whoa, these are nice things these people say. Gordon Carroll, Sheriff's Deputy, Denver Metropolitan Area. The plot helped me understand the Bible so that now reading Scripture is a joy and no longer a chore. Wow, reading Scripture is a joy. Now, here, Bob Ball, retired aerospace engineer, South Bend, Indiana. History will eventually... Oh, this is too much. I can't read this one. It's too embarrassing. All right, my board operator is saying read it. History will eventually point to this book as the paradigm shift that moved the body of Christ to a much clearer understanding of Scripture. Wow. Now, Ricky Newcomer, major Chicago Bulls fan and draftsman from Monroe, Louisiana. After a plot seminar, Ricky Newcomer said, listening to Bob Enyart teach the Bible is like watching Michael Jordan play basketball. Come on, guys, I can't keep reading. This is sort of embarrassing. Okay, what have we got? We have two more to read. Okay, John Mangopoulos, publisher of the Unreported News, Lansing, Michigan. He's also that TV talk show guy, right? John, he's great. Bob Enyart has written flat out the best book ever for understanding the Bible. Wow, I haven't read these in 5 years. Bert Wagner, software engineer, Denver. Hey, you know, chances are you have Bert's software on your computer. If you have a computer, his software is on tens of millions of computers because of the nature of what he does. Computer manufacturers buy his software and put it on your computer. Anyway, Bert Wagner wrote, after the book cleared up many problem passages for me, I felt that each chapter was worth its weight in gold. Taking the weight of the manuscript into consideration, that made each chapter worth about $500. Bert, he's such a nice guy. And you know what he actually did? Chapter 10 wasn't done on miracles and healing. And so Bert had read the plot when it was only finished through chapter 9. And he offered $500 for the next chapter if it would be done in a certain time frame. And I assure you, we didn't rush the chapter. But Bert got the chapter and very graciously gave $500 for that one chapter. Okay. So now, I did want to address more carefully this issue of being envious of Mexicans who take our jobs. I just want to stress this again because I think it's so crucial for the attitude of a Christian to be godly, even on an issue that gets us emotional and we're angry about illegal immigration. Rightly so. Rightly so, because there should not be an epidemic of illegal immigration. We should secure our borders. At the same time, we should love our neighbor as ourself. And if you're going to get angry at somebody for our borders being open like a sieve, be angry at George W. Bush. He's the one who you should direct your anger to because he's the one elected to enforce the law, and he's not doing that because he doesn't want to do that. So if our government will not enforce our borders, it's a bit misdirected to be mad at those who escape devastating poverty to come here, to live more like a human being than like an animal in Mexico. And we've been to Mexico just last summer. We went, our friends have a condo in Puerto Peñasco, and we go down there and we just don't stay in the condo. We go and visit the people. And they live in squalor. Even the ones who are doing well live in squalor in homes that are boxes that don't even have electricity and barely running water or no running water. So if somebody has a family, they have one or two kids, and they desperately want their kids to be able to live where they're not in filth, and they come here because our government says, come on, we don't protect our borders, and if you come here, you might get a job that pays 10 times better than you get down there. And so they come here by the millions. So we need to understand where to direct our anger and our criticism. And even that needs to be in the context of loving your neighbor. And so when a Mexican comes to America, the chances go up tremendously that that person will become a believer because the gospel is preached in America far more clearly and effectively and far more widespread than it is in Mexico. In fact, Mexico, you got people celebrating, is it La Muerte, the angel of death? You got a million Catholics or millions who every year celebrate the angel of death. The angel of death. It's a sick thing. It's sick. Is it El Muerte, La Muerte? I don't know what it is. And it's the occult, practically, in Mexico. It's the occult. And so when they come here, they get a better chance to hear the gospel. And if they apply for jobs picking fruit in an orchard, that most likely your grandson would not do if he was paid twice as much as we're paying the Mexicans to do the work, right? Your grandson, think of your grandson. Don't think theoretically. Think of your actual grandson who won't even work at McDonald's for $8 an hour. He's too good for that. And he's going to work in the orchards for $6 an hour or $7 an hour. Hard work, digging ditches. We could not have bought our home. We could not have afforded our home if it were not for Mexicans who built our home. Because the Americans, they could build it. They could do a great job. And it would probably have cost us an extra $60,000. And we have 7 kids, daughter-in-laws, 2 grandkids, 50 other people who we think are our kids who wander through on a regular basis. And we could not have bought this home if it wasn't for Mexican labor. We could not have. Now, that means we should oppose illegal immigration, secure our border, welcome people who want to come here and preach the gospel to them, and we should be glad when they get jobs. And if my grandson is too lazy to go and get a job, to work that hard for that kind of money, good for him. Let him be a bum. Let somebody else take his paycheck to the bank and let him learn to work harder and work smarter, because this is the real world we live in. And a job is not like welfare, that you deserve a job because you were born here. That's leftism. That's socialism. That's communism. And the richer our neighbors become, the better for America. America is wildly wealthy, yet we whine. We whine. We complain about outsourcing, of all things. America is wildly wealthy. If you're living in an area that's poor or destitute, you can move, go somewhere else if you wanted to. Or you could start a job on the internet. My kids will go out. My kids, never mind adults, my kids will go out and they make a lot of money. My son Nathaniel, he's not even an adult yet. How old is he? He's 18? He's 20. He's an adult. My son Nathaniel is 20 years old. He's running a trucking company, a dirt hauling company. They started with one truck, one driver. They got 4 trucks, a few back loaders, whatever you call them, a handful of drivers. They rent other equipment. And it's my son. I said, Nathaniel, I entered the wrong business. What am I doing? I'm a talk show host. You're making real money. You're dealing with real dirt. I'm dealing with weird dirt. So we need to be Christians in our attitude about public policy and foreign policy. And we need to understand the proper role of government. And the way you learn that is by reading God's Word. It's fun. Look forward to next week. Bobby Schindler on Monday. See you then. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you'd like to hear more, then tune in weekdays at 3 right here on KLTT for Bob Enyart Live. Also, you could subscribe to our Bob Enyart Live Bible studies, our monthly videos, our sermons. For the Bible studies, you get an entire album on audio tape or MP3 CD for $34.95 a month. Or you could get our videos or sermons every month mailed to you for just $24.95 a month. To subscribe, please call 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Or you could subscribe online at kgov.com. Also, Denver Bible Church, you're invited Sunday morning or evening for Bible study, worship, and fellowship. We have such a great time together, so come on out or check us out on the web at kgov.com for Bob Enyart Live.